This week's parasha starts off. Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron Akoyin Heishiv es chamosi me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanoyis kenosi b'seichom v'lechilisias b'nei Yisrael b'kenosi. Pinchas got up, he turned away the anger that the Rebbein Shalom had against Klal Yisrael, the Maiseh with Zimri and Cosby, that Klal Yisrael did a chet, terrible chet with Midyan. He went and he killed Zimri and Cosby, and that subsided, that made shalom between the Rebbein Shalom and Klal Yisrael. Lochein emar hini noisein loy es brisi shalom. Therefore, Pinchas got what's called the brisi shalom. Rashi says, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron Akoyin, l'fi shehoyu hashvotim mevazim oisei. The shvotim were making fun of him. They were making embarrassing him. Hirisem ben putizeh, shepitem avi ima avi imoi, agolom lavoidas kechovim, vohorag nosi shevet mi Yisrael, leficha bo hakosev ayichsu achar Aaron. Rashi's asking a question. Why does the pasuk say, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron Akoyin? Normally, if we want to identify somebody, we go by their father's name. We call him Pinchas ben Elozer. Why does it say, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron Akoyin? So Rashi says it's because it wanted that the Shvatim were going to come, the king, and said that who is he? His grandfather was Avi Avodah Zarah. You should know he comes from Aaron Akoyin. The Gemara in Zvachim, and Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, is a machlokes about when Pinchas was entitled to the kahuna. Pinchas added this ma'isa according to it seems parshas from the pesukim. The pasuk continues, "Vahoyse loy l'dari acharav bris kahuna aseilum." He was eicher to become a kohen. When the Aaron Akoyin became a kohen, Pinchas was already born. And until now, Pinchas was not called a kohen. It's only now because he did this a superb action of bringing back shalom between the Rebbein Shalom and Klal Yisrael that he was eicher to be a kohen. There's another mitzvah that happened in Yeshua Chav Beis. Reuven, God, and Chasi Shevet Menashe. They built a mizbeach. The other shvatim wanted to kill them. At that point, you weren't allowed to build a mizbeach outside of the Beis Hamikdash. They wanted to kill him. They said, we're going to cast out the Mishkan. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill, wipe out Reuven, God, and Chasi Shevet Menashe. Pinchas went and said, whoa, let's find out what happened. They didn't even know the whole story. Why did they build the base? Why did they build the Mizbeach? All the people were riled up, let's just kill them. We don't care why, we don't want to know what happened. They built the Mizbeach, it's against the Torah, let's kill them. Pinchas made peace. He went down, he found that they did a L'shem Shemayim, they didn't mean to go be buried in the Rebbein Shalom, they thought that's what they're supposed to do, and he ultimately caused peace. So the machlokes in the Gemara over there, Belozer b'shem b'chanina says that from our pasuk over here is where we learn that Pinchas became a kohen. This from this point on, this is where he was zeicha to the kohuna. Rav Ashi says no, he was zeicha to Aaron Akoyin. No, sorry, Pinchas was zeicha to the kohuna over there. That ma'isa when he created peace amongst Reuben, God, and Chasi Shev Menashe and the rest of Klal Yisrael, he was zeicha to the kohuna then. So the Gemara asks, but the pasuk over here seems to say very clearly that he was zeicha to it over here. So how could you say that he's first zeicha to it over there many years later? So the Gemara says bebracha. Rashi and Tosfos explain that it seems that the kohen gadol, throughout the generations, I believe Tosfos says there were 80 in the first place Hamikdash, kohanim gedolim all came from Pinchas. And there were 300 in the second Beis Hamikdash, which all came from Pinchas. So the Gemara saying is that he was taka zeicha over here in Parshas Pinchas with this ma'aseh with Zimri and Cosby. He was zeicha to become a kohen. He was zeicha to have the special bracha of having the kohanim gedolim come from him at that junction when he did that unbelievable ma'aseh. Perhaps we can give a different answer to this question with a little bit more of an explanation. And also the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Samach Vav says, if anyone gets an aliyah to the Torah this week, if you're a kohen, it says, "Lochein emar hin nilois en loy es brisi shalom." I'm actually looking at an Arkstrel Chumash now, and I noticed that they actually have the Vav. There's a little cut in the middle of the Vav. The Gemara says a Vav Ketiyah. And in a lot of most Sifrei Torah are written like that, that it looks, it's closer to a Yud than a Vav. It's a Vav Ketiyah, because that he created the Brisi Shalom of completeness, not just of peace, but of completeness. Now what does that mean? Why did he get this thing of being complete? The Vilna Goyen asks a question. We know Avraham Avinu had 10 tests. He went through 10 nisyonos, some harder, some easier. It came time to that Kedas Yitzchak. According to, it's the 9th or the 10th, depending on the Ran, the other version. But it says that Pasuk says, after Avraham passes that test, the Pasuk says, Ki'ata yadati, ki'irei elikim'ata. Now we know that Avraham Avinu was Yirei Elikim. How do we understand that? Avraham Avinu was in the Kifshon Eish. He was in a fire, and the Rebbeinu Shalom, as clear as day, made a nes nigla, and he survived it. Avraham Avinu was 100 years old. Even back then, apparently, according to the Torah, it was certainly a big nes, and his wife was 90. He had a child, Yitzchak. Everything God told him to do was working out. God was with him, God was telling him exactly what to do, and everything that he followed God, it worked out. He became rich, everything worked out. God tells him, Shech your son. Yeah, for someone like ourselves, someone like me, you come to me, tell me, Shech my son, I wouldn't know what to do with that per se. But I've never been to live with their Rebbeinu Shalom. Their Rebbeinu Shalom was spoke to him on the radio. He had Nevuah directly from their Rebbeinu Shalom. So well, what does that mean? That now, first, by the Kedas Yitzchak, he had the Ketor Yidati. Yeah, it's an Assyrian, fine. But to say until now, we didn't know that he was Yirei Elikim, he listened to everything else the Rebbeinu Shalom said. So the Vilna Goyen explains an unbelievable Yisayit. The Yisayit is Maisim Rechichon. When a person does an action, and a person does something, it can prove something else that he did before. Certain people have innate natures. They have certain things that they inherently do. Some people are Balei Chesed. Some people are not. Some people are Ragzim. Some people are Kanoim. There's all different types of midas that a person can have. Avraham Avinu, all his life until this point, never did something that looked like a mice of cruelty. So you can say that everything that Avraham Avinu was doing, he was doing wonderful things and he was listening to the Rebbeinu Shalom. But it wasn't a mice of cruelty. Can you imagine going and shechting your own son? I mean, it's not to be believed. So what the pasuk is telling us is ki ato yadati ki rei elikimata. It's over here that we know it proves everything else. Not this is it. This now validated all the other nishanis before it. Why did he listen to the Rebbeinu Shalom? It was going to work out for him. It was going to be good. All the other things you could say, okay, well, he already was in the Kishon Eish, he listened. He was Lech Lecha Miyatzach, he tried that, it worked, but it was a midah of listening, of Chesed. And Avraham Avinu was the pillar, he's the Omer of Chesed. And now here, he's going against his very grain to go and shecht his own son. So the Goyen says that this proves, Ki Ato Yodati, Ki Yirei Elikim Ata, that the whole time, all the things that he did, he was a Yirei Elikim. He wasn't doing it because he was a Chesed, this was his nature. Megillas Esther. It says, HaMordechai goes over to Esther and tells her, listen here, you're going to go into Ahasuerus, you're going to tell Ahasuerus that, you know, the whole story to make sure to save Klal Yisrael. And if not, At Uveis Avich Tevet. You and your whole household is going to be destroyed. Why we did, what? At Uveis Avich? You want to say you're worthless, that's fine. What are we saying? At Uveis Avich Tevet. Same Yisrael. And the Medrash says that Esther came from a line of Tznuim, from Shaul HaMelech, from Rachel Imenu. There's a midah of Tznius. And Mordechai was telling her a very deep thought. He was telling her, listen, I'm telling you that what God wants you to do now, the Rebbeinu Shalom wants you to do now, is go into Ahasuerus. It doesn't sound like it's a good thing to do from a, you know, he's gonna want, you know, what Ahasuerus is gonna want in terms of that she's his wife, and what she's gonna want, maybe you say it's not so tznius, I shouldn't do it. But tznius is all the midas that we have, be it a mida of chesed, be it a mida of tznius, it has to be that it's God's will and God's want, not because it feels right to us. So Mordechai was telling her, if you're not going to go in now, you're going to be destroying your whole household. Because they're going to say, oh, Rachel Imenu. It was a nature. It was her own nature. And the Shaul, all these things, it was a nature. And now when I'm telling you that God wants you to go in, and you're not going in, you're showing that it was just a nature till now. And therefore, all the good things that they did that caused it, you're going to be destroyed. And that's why she went. So perhaps that is the pshat over here. It says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyen. Pinchas was going in, and he went against the very grain of his soul. He was a kanoi. But he wasn't a kanoi. How do we know that? Until now, the Torah doesn't tell us, we don't see any ma'asim from Pinchas that he was an oyev shalom and a roid shalom. The pasuk attests to it. The pasuk says, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKoyen. You should know that Pinchas comes from Aaron HaKoyen. Aaron HaKoyen was an oyev shalom and a roid shalom. That's all he wanted. But maybe he was really kanoi. Pinchas wasn't. Pinchas had to prove it. Ma'asim mechichem. When it came time later with Reuven and God and Chatzi Sheva Menashe, and there everyone, all the Kanoi, the rest of Klai Yisrael was saying, Kanois, let's go kill them. They built the Mizbeach, let's destroy them. Pinchas said, no, let's go find out what happened. Why do we have to? Pinchas showed that he was not really a Kanoi. He's only Kanois for the name of the Rebbeinu Shalom. And that's why maybe Pshaz of Ashi was saying is that at the Maisa and over there by Reuven going to Chatzir Menashe, he validated himself over here. He got the zchus. Not that he zichah got the kahuna over here. The Torah knows that he was ben Aaron HaKoyen. That's what the Torah tells us. But how did we know? How did he show a Maisa of being Maisa Merichichen? He showed it over there when he says, "I'm not a kanoi. I'm an oyev shalom and roidev shalom. That's what I want." And this is a real yisoid for life. You know, people have excuses of why we do things, why we don't do things. I can't go to learn tonight because I have to help my wife. It's true. The chesed starts at home. Everybody heard that before, and it's true. I can't do this because my mother. Excuses. They can be valid excuses. But after 120, someone goes up to Shemayim and they say, hey, it's Tuesday night. This Tuesday night, why weren't you learning? Oh, that Tuesday night, I have a whole bunch of kids. The house was crazy. I couldn't leave my wife. I had no choice. He said, really? What happened on Wednesday night when the house was crazy and you went to play basketball? Then you didn't. Then it wasn't like, well, 1 second, I have my responsibilities. So we have to be careful what we do when we have our excuses that they should hold water. Because in that case, it wasn't that I didn't want to go, I was helping my wife because I wanted to go, because I couldn't go learn. It was because learning took a back level to helping my wife. But for playing basketball, that's a different story already. Rabbi Abiraisman says over, I don't think necessarily this prat is true, but he says that the famous shayla is a shayla about on an airplane. Somebody's on an airplane, they're going to Eretz Yisrael, and the diving. You're diving on the airplane. The famous shayla that everyone goes to the back. Is it better to sit in your seat and daven and not be with a tzil of a tzibu because you can't have kavana? You're going to be standing in the back and there were the stewardesses that are walking back and forth and it's near the back and you can't do anything. He said he got to get a seat in the back so he doesn't have the shayla. But if you asked him what he would do, he says is that he would stay sitting. Not halacha, he's not giving psak for other people, but he says his own personal thing, he would stay sitting. He says, why? He says, after 120, he's going to go up to Shemayim, and they're going to ask him, Monday, why didn't you daven with a minyan? He said, ha, why didn't I daven with a minyan on Monday? Couldn't daven with a minyan on Monday. I was sitting on the airplane, and if I would have stood in the back, I wouldn't have had kavana. They're going to ask him, kavana? What kavana? Where's kavana? You have to be able to stand up to what your excuse is. I don't believe Rabbi Reisman, I'm repeating his story that he says. I don't believe he has a problem with the Kavanah thing, but he's trying to bring out this point of Ma'asim Mechichem. It's a very important lesson. A little later in the parsha, we have the Ma'asim with Tzlochot. B'nai Slavchat Khan, and they want their father is no longer alive, and they want a share in Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says that Slavchat took, received, the schar of the entire dir. How do we explain this Medrash? I mean, they went and they wanted to have, I mean, it's very nice, they wanted to get a share in the land, but so what? The MAMS says, how do we know that Slavchat was doing anything L'shem Shemayim? They wanted inheritance. They wanted to have land. Well, who wouldn't want land? The Medrash is telling us to get the Schar Kulam. Pashtus is because they were willing to stand up and look funny, per se, and go against the grain. They're going to stand up against Moshe Rabbeinu, these B'nai Slavchat, and say, we want land. Something very difficult to do. And they wanted Eretz Yisrael. They had a tremendous ahav and chavivus for Eretz Yisrael. Who says? Maybe they just wanted a piece of land. So the Imam says, the Raya is very simple. It's machlekes whether over who the B'nai Slavchat father was in the Torah, but he was either from the Mekoshish Eitzim, or from the Mapilim. Those who ran up right after the Naragim went, they went up, they wanted to go into the land right away, and they got killed. Either way, B'nai Slavchat's father died almost 40 years ago. This is close to the end. This is many, many years later. This is when Klal Yisrael is getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. If Slavchat's only wish was that they wanted to have land, they wanted to have inheritance, why wouldn't they have woken up back then? They should have said then, we want land, we want money, we want this. They didn't care. It's now when they see that they're going into Eretz Yisrael, and they wanted to be part of it. They wanted the hava of Klal Yisrael, of getting Eretz Yisrael, the land that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us. They showed their tremendous chavivus by doing this action of going to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why they were zeicha to get the schar of the Kol Hadar. And this once again fits in with Maisa Mechicha, not doing two different maises, but this one maise about when you do it. They did it over here now, because over here now is when was the opportunity to become to become part of Klal Yisrael in the sense of getting Eretz Yisrael. So, unbelievable Ben Ishchai this morning. Ben Ishchai asks a question. The end of last week's parasha, it says, "Vayar Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron Hakoyin, vayokom mitoicha eda," and he got up from within the eda. Vayikach roimach biyodei. What does it mean, vayokom mitoicha eda? He got up from within the eda. Okay, Pinchas saw, and he vayikach roimach biyodei. He took a sword in his hand. What does it mean that he got up from mitoicha eda? So he says that the lashon eda comes from the end of Parash Bamidbar. The pasuk says, "V'ha'yu lochem ha'arim l'miklat migoyel, v'lo yamos hareteach ad omdoi lefnei ha'eda l'mishpat." Eda means Sanhedrin. Pinchas was part of Sanhedrin. Pinchas sat and learned the entire day. It says in the parasha, this week's parasha, Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron Hakoyin. Pinchas, while he did not have the name, he did not get the title of a Kohen, but he was still from Shevet Levi. He still did not go out and work. He did not go out and take weapons. He didn't know what a weapon was. He says, why was Pinchas get so much schar? Why did he get the brisi shalom, completeness? He says, he gives a marshal. It was a king who went out in the field one day with his super guard, who had a big sword, and a group of marauders came by, and they started threatening the king. The general took out his sword, he chased them all away, killed all of them, came back to the king. King says, thank you very much. They go back into the palace. The next week, this general apparently was on vacation, and the king wanted to go out again. He takes the guy, he's a Sar Mashkin. He's the guy who all he does is he pours wine. He does nothing more, he pours wine. He doesn't know from any weapons. And he says, I go with the king. Doesn't even know what a sword is. Doesn't have a sword. They go again outside. And the group, another different group of marauders come. And this servant says, tells the king, give me your sword. He takes the king's sword. He goes and he kills all the people and he chases them all away. And the king comes back. The king says, wow, just so amazing. And he goes back to the palace and he makes a big party for him and he makes him, gives him honors and awards. Somebody asks the king, I don't understand. Last week, you had this general. He killed the same group of marauders. You said thank you and that was the end of the story. Have a nice day. What happened over here that you're giving him so much reward and so much praise? It's very simple. The general, that's his job. He's a man that walks around with a sword. His job is to go and to protect the king. He did his job. You say thank you, you should always say thank you. But he didn't do anything above and beyond to demonstrate his loyalty to the king. This person who is the Sahamashkin, who didn't know what a sword was until then, wanted to do whatever he could for the name of the king, for the sake of the king, and he went and killed these people. He showed super godliness. He went above and beyond, took it to the next level and says, I don't care what I really can do or can't do, but I'm going to do whatever I can to help the king. And that is why Pinchas was a person who sat and learned the whole day. The Gemara tells us, Tayr is Tosh Kaychai, someone who learns the whole day and makes him weak. So you have someone, Pinchas, you picture Pinchas, he went and he killed with a sword, the way the Targum Innocent says that he had the two people on his sword, walking around with them, they're heavy. I mean, he sounds like he was Shimshon HaGibur over here. The Benishai says he was no Shimshon HaGibur, he was very far from it, he was a weakling. And nonetheless, he didn't care. All that mattered was Kavod Shemayim. The Meir HaGemaisa, Meir Bishar Eisen, he heard this numerous times, this Yisayit, from Rav Pam. Rav Pam had a Talmud who was in Eretz Yisrael. He was learning in Eretz Yisrael. And Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Chatzadeh Kodesh Levracha, went over to this Talmud of Rav Pam and said, I want you to go out of the yeshiva and start a new chabur. And his Talmud didn't know if he should accept or not, so he called up his Rabbi Rav Pam and said, should I accept this? Is it something that I should be doing, or maybe it's too much for me? Rav Pam said, I'm going to speak to Nosson Tzvi myself. I'll deal with it. Rav Pam calls him Nosson Tzvi, and he says, I think he's too young. He's not ready. Nosson Tzvi responded, if you take achrayis on something and you decide you're going to do it, kumin de koiches, the koiches, the strength to do it will come. The Rebbeinu Shlomo will make it so. And needless to say, Rav Pam told the Bocher to go and make the chabura. It's the same Yisrael over here. We have Pinchas. And Pinchas took achrayis without Shemayim helping us, without the Rebbeinu Shlomo helping us. Certainly, he couldn't have done anything. Again, the amazing, it says all the tremendous, tremendous nisim, how Pinchas was able to do this, that he didn't get killed himself. And if he wouldn't have done it 100% perfectly, he would have been over Yisurim Dereisa. And nonetheless, he did it so perfectly that he just gets praise and nothing but praise. But certainly, with the help of Shemayim, but it's because he took achrayis. If you take achrayis, that's when the keichas come. The parasha of Pinchas, we learn often throughout the year with the karbonis. Pasuk says, by the Tamid, our last Tamid, Ha'asiyah b'har Sinai, Reach nichoyach, Isha l'Hashem. It says, Ha'asiyah b'har Sinai. What does it mean as done like b'har Sinai? What does it mean? Perhaps the pshat is, it says in Parashas B'Shalach, Vayeh Moshe Aaron, Kach Tzenes Achas, V'sen Shomo Moloi Ha'omer Mon, V'hanach Oisoi Lefnei Hashem L'Mishmeres L'Dayosei. He tells him the mon is about to start coming down. It's the beginning of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. And the mon falls down from Shemayim. And he goes and takes one of the mon and puts it in a jar. It's in Tzenes Achas. Put it in the jar and keep it in the Beis HaMikdash. So Klal Yisrael should remember the unbelievable the chesed of the Baruch Shalom and the nisim of giving the mon. The question is the mon was going to come down for 40 years. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu tell Aaron to take it from the first one over here? Why didn't he tell him to take it at the end of 40 years? He knew they were going to get it for 40 years. So the answer is simple. When the mon first came down, it was unbelievable. Klal Yisrael saw mon. Mon was it was an unbelievable food. It would take how it tasted, and there was no refuse from it. It was unbelievable. The mon came down every day from Shemayim. It's not normal. You didn't have to work for your food. It just came down. It satisfied, satiated everybody. It was unbelievable. The mon. It says that it's achila birim. It's malachim food, as I say in the Gemara. So, but after 40 years of getting the mon, you lose it. You just, you know, on the contrary, there were people that were born, if someone was born, you know, during the time of the Midbar, the 40 years, they took it for granted 100% because they didn't even know any other way. What does it mean? You have to go plow a field and you have to go be busy and it's a whole long process. It takes months and months until you can actually bring a piece of bread to the table. You know, and over here it comes down. They don't know anything more. You lose that freshkeit. Once you lose that newness, It takes away from the whole thing. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu said, take from the first one. It's that first one that you should take. That people should remember that you should always have that freshness, that newness. And that's what it says, Ha'asuya b'Har Sinai. The Eilas HaTamid, we bring it regularly. We consistently bring it twice a day. You get used to it. You do it by rote. You daven. We daven three times a day. We do all these things. We have to do it with a newness, with mitzvahs. So, Merdeka verse from the Mayim Beis HaShoeva. He says, he asks the question. When you go to a bris, they say, Hishen Shenich Nes Labris, Kein Yikonis a Torah L'chup Al Masim Tev. Why do we have to say, what's Masim Tev? Where do we ever say, what's this terminology of Masim Tev? Say, Mitzvahs. Torah L'chup Al Mitzvahs. What's Masim Tev? Where's Mitzvahs? Why is it Mitzvahs instead? So he says, that someone who learns Torah becomes part of him. He becomes a shtick Torah. Someone is a different person. A person who learns Torah and makes himself a Torah digger person is not the same person as someone who does. A chuppah, someone before he's married, he's considered a half a person. When he gets married, he's a complete. He's a sholim. He's a different person. He's a new person. He's a different chatz of a person. When a person, when we say, we're saying this by the bris, kishem shenichnas labris, an Aril, before he has a bris mila, he's a different person. A person now who gets a bris mila, this child, he's a new person. That's the reason why Pashtus, why we name the baby when he gets a bris mila, because that's when he's complete. He's now a new person. He said, but Ma'isim Toivim is also like that. A person that does chesed, Avraham Avinu. He's a Baal chesed. That's inherent in his thing. He's a Baal chesed. He's a Baal stoker. That's what he does. That's what he is. As opposed to mitzvahs, you're not supposed to become a bal mitzvahs. You put on tefillin this morning, it's supposed to be new. It's not supposed to be, yeah, I'm a bal mitzvah, bal tefillin. Yeah, I've been doing this for years. Yeah, I just do it and I do it. There's supposed to be that freshness, that newness. And that's why we don't wish them mitzvahs. You say, change the list, candy corn, Torah, lochop, al maizim, Torah. These are all things that change the person that he becomes, that's what he becomes. And he's that forever after that. A person who's someone who got a best meal, he's now forever. But mitzvahs are something that we always have to keep fresh and do it with the freshness. Have a good Shabbos.